Welcome to the Old Republic Podcast.
We're a podcast that discusses Star Wars, Knights of the Old Republic, general sci-fi, and about the stories that inspired a galaxy.
Consider this a spoiler warning for everything under the sun and the twin suns in that galaxy far, far away.
This is where the fun begins.
Hello there, everyone. Welcome to the 200th episode of the Old Republic Podcast. We're excited to be here, and today we have some questions, some from Discord, and some from AstroDroid's Instagram, and some from our own minds, so it's going to be fun.
That's right, it is going to be fun. Yeah, it's episode 200, what an exciting time, for sure. Technically, it's only my, 139th episode, I think, or something like that, because I joined in a little bit later, but definitely 200 for you and 200 overall for the podcast. So thank you, everyone, for joining, and the people that sent in some questions and hypothesis is for us to talk about and ponder. And yeah, I think it's just going to be a really fun time to kind of reflect on KOTOR and Star Wars and everything that went into the first 200 episodes.
Yeah, so it's always great to kind of hit these milestones, and the podcast would not be as near as great, with AstroDroids. So even though it's I'm bad at math, you're 139th, it's 200, in everyone's hearts, So we might just stop doing numbered episodes after this, because I'm just nope. I've hit my limit of math, so.
That's right. The math has come, the math has gone. After working through the audio drama here, time and numbers have mostly lost their meaning anyways, as that's been a lot of work, but a lot of fun to get out, and you can expect part two of that out next week if you're listening to this right now when this went live. So definitely look forward to that. And, the audio drama is just one of, a number of things we've gotten to do here, within the confines of the podcast that have been pretty fun, in terms of, flexing our creativity and creating, new content and crazy content and, all sorts of fun we've had here along the way.
Yeah. And I think we forgot to mention, when we were talking about all the audio drama things we did, we also ended up doing a Spaceship Earth thing, and Dennis and Marcus and you helped me out on that. So, love that Spaceship Earth.
Yeah, that's right. Spaceship Earth project we did there. That was a lot of fun. We did our Max Rebo Behind the Music with Hooney. That was a really good time. We did that. We did particular to this time of year. I'll probably post these up on the Instagram and stuff too, but we did our Haunted Tales last year with Hooney and Marcus. That was a lot of fun. Getting into, stuff like that has been, just a really good time to get into. And like I said, just kind of flex the creativity a little bit and, venture off from just, the week in, week out, podcast, topics and stuff like that. But maybe my favorite thing that we've done kind of along the way, and it was what we were doing, kind of at the right off the bat. You actually had started doing it prior to myself joining up onto the podcast, but, just mapping out the KOTOR trilogy as a set of films. That was a lot of fun. And that's kind of what I was thrown into the fire when I first joined into the podcast.
Yeah, we went so in depth. I don't know, maybe too in depth, but
nah.
We plunged those depths. We measured those depths. If KOTOR were an ocean, maybe. I always get Costo and Cocktail mixed up, but I think it's Costo who was the French, underwater explorer. So I think I'm saying that right, but...
That's right.
Yeah. Kind of like Manon, we're like, we found that shark. We might have accidentally won dark side points on accident, but we found it.
that's true. We were definitely walking a fine line there in terms of our dark side and light side points. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. And yeah, it's been amazing, episode 200, it seems like it was not that long ago. We were just celebrating, episode 100.
Yeah, the podcast has gone a long way. When we first began, we are called the Ebon Hawk, and some people are like, is it Ethan Hawk? Like, how do you spell this? And I was like, why not just be the Old Republic podcast? So, you know, we just, even if we're not explicitly talking about KOTOR, like, I think last week we talked about The Creator, the new movie. Like, we find ways to be like, this reminded me of Revan and Bastila and the Starforge, you know? Like, we find ways to bring it all together.
That's right. Anytime there's a map in any movie or TV show or book, it instantly gets compared to what a hypothetical star map would look like. And I think that's okay. I think that's okay place for our heads to be in. But Cassie, I think what we should probably do here, get this episode 200 kicked off, a bit of a KOTOR fan celebration. We've got some questions here, and I thought maybe this one would be a good place to start. This one is going to basically go back to kind of the roots of the game here a little bit, and it'll kind of, you know, set the stage here for talking about KOTOR and stuff like we're going to be doing here in the game. This comes from Johnny, aka Journals of the Wills. We actually were on his podcast of the Star Wars Book Club community over there, so go check those out. He asked a couple of questions, but the first one here, he says he just wants to hear kind of the difference of the paths you can take, the non-canon paths. So, you know, female light side and dark side, and then the male dark side. You know, Johnny says he wants to know it selfishly because he'd only played the game a couple of times and has always done the male light side version. So, Cassie, do you want to talk a little bit about the different sort of things that happen if you're a female Revan or a dark side Revan?
Well, then I hope I can save you from yourself. You gave me a future. I want to give you a future too, with me. I think I could love you if you give me the chance.
Yeah, so the story stays mostly the same. Funnily enough, even if you go light side or dark side, like, you still visit the same planets, you still visit the Starforge, you know? If you're light side and female, I think, like, the only thing that could really change is, like, the possibility of, like, who you romance, whether it's Juhani or Karth, you know? Mm-hmm. The story mostly stays the same, and it is an interesting twist, like, that Revan, like, is a woman, you know, when, like, Star Wars had been, like, kind of cool dudes in masks for so long, so it can be, you know, like, a twist, you know, and then mm-hmm. There was a cut dark side female ending, where, Karth reaches out to her, at the very end, and it's, like, I came back because I love you, you know, like, it's not too late. We can just stay here on the Starforge and die together. And I'm like, oh, it's so beautiful, you know, like, Or you can just go dark side female, you know, and it's pretty much the same as, like, dark side male, you know, but maybe, like, dark side male, like, if that... if you kind of had the romance path with Bastila, she's like, we can totally date as Sith Lords, you know?
She really leans into it. Yeah, for sure.
Like 2003 writing kind of way. But yeah.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. The romance options there are definitely different if you're the female Revan. Like you said, Cassia, you can go for Karth or Juhani there. It changes the way that the story plays out with Bastila a little bit, because Bastila starts to come off as kind of like this more like jealous type of a character of female Revan. Especially kind of in reference to, like, the romance of Karth. Now, this is something BioWare would sort of adapt, you know, going forward into Mass Effect, where I think all of the characters were basically romance options, you know, whether you're a male or a female character in the game. And I think that is probably better. But it does sound like from any of, like, the reading and research and walkthroughs I've seen, because I've myself only ever played the light side male version here of KOTOR, It sounds like the romance between the Revan and Karth is actually pretty interesting. So that might be something we should revisit at a future time. Maybe looking a little bit more of into those romance options there, you know, be it Karth or be it Juhani within there. And then obviously if you're a dark side character, either male or female, there's some different outcomes you can get. So Juhani, there's multiple kind of instances where Juhani can die. Jolie can die prior to the end of the game. Mission in Big Z is the big heart-wrenching one. You could just hear Cassia, you know, groan in agony just thinking about the terrible fates that Mission in Big Z have, where you mind trick Big Z into killing poor Mission. Spoiler there. You can play it through to where, you know, HK doesn't join the party. You just leave him on Tatooine.
Didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, apparently. I've never done it myself, but yeah, apparently you can just not get HK from that droid smith or droid dealer there on Tatooine stays around. But then, regardless of light side or dark side, male or female, Candorous and T3 pretty much have the same story.
Yeah, even though I think, like, T3 is, like, the ultimate light-sided droid, he is still a droid, like... There's a tragedy in that, I think. Like, he has to go along with evil, you know? And he doesn't have a say, so...
Yeah, yeah, very true, very true. Mm-hmm. All right, well, thank you, Johnny, for sending that in. Hopefully that shed some light on the different paths your characters can take there in KOTOR. And then, obviously, you know, there's different paths in KOTOR 2, which we, you know, talked a little bit about kind of in the... What did we even call those? I don't like the character journey episodes we did there for KOTOR 2. You know, we kind of talked a little bit about the differences there. So there's a lot more instances there and in who you can, you know, both in like the romance and the dark side, light side, but then also in who you're going to take on as your apprentice and stuff like that. Most of those are a little bit better documented throughout the history here of these 200 episodes of the podcast. But those are kind of your storylines for KOTOR 1.
Yeah. Let's start with this. If Star Wars were to take place on our Earth,
okay,
when and where would you set it? And ooh, same for KOTOR.
Ooh, okay.
If I want to know what happened in Europe a long time ago, I'd watch Game of Thrones.
Let's see. I don't know. Like that's a tricky question because Star Wars is like this sort of like analog future almost, right? And obviously it's portraying itself as a long time ago there. You'd have to have some separation obviously between the two. So I think, you know, sort of right off the bat, I say, well, KOTOR would be during like the you know, like medieval times, you know, like 1200-ish, something like that, where there's, you know, castles and swords and, you know, empires and things like that. That seems to me like that would make sense. Which, I mean, I guess then, in a way, I think if I was going to set Star Wars in, you know, sort of our Earth time, I would say probably, like, right around, you know, the turn of, like the turn of the century into like the 18th century when you're starting to get things, you know, like locomotives and telegraphs and stuff like that, where like this technology just seems like completely like far-fetched and very like science fiction-y almost in a way, because it's kind of coming on and changing the way that the world is going to operate, you know, kind of from like the mid 1800s up to, you know, like the 1900s. You know, you have like here, you know, speaking just from, you know, like the United States, you have like the expansion out west, you know, with the railroads and things like that, and even getting into stuff like the highway system. So it seems like kind of like right there, maybe like that time period, like the like 1850s to early 1900s would probably be where I would think that maybe it would take place. I don't know. What do you think, Cassia? Am I onto something there? Am I totally wrong?
I think you're onto something. Because, like, I'm looking at a map.
Is it a star map?
It is a map. So what? It's just, like, the world, you know? So I'm just looking at it. So if the sound isn't as good, it's because I'm looking at the map. It would be cool to kind of like have like an Akira Kurosawa kind of like time period of like the Hidden Fortress, Star Wars, you know, or like kind of like a samurai era, you know, Star Wars. But I wonder if that would be a little too obvious, but I'm like, maybe it's obvious for a reason, you know?
Sure,
But I do like that idea you have, like, the 1200s, like, maybe KOTOR could be, like, the Crusades, you know? So, because, I mean, Revan was called the Crusader, so it could fit.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you look at, like, the real-world inspirations then for Star Wars, right? You get things like the Vietnam War, World War II, and even that's kind of breached, like, in this past season of Visions, where the... was the dancer or something like that, the one that the French studio did, you know, had it set kind of in like this World War II setting there. So
yeah,
so yeah, definitely I could see that. But I think if I'm just thinking about like the aesthetic and, you know, kind of that like analog you know future, near future kind of thing, like that's what comes to mind to me, like I said, like the advent of like the railroad and kind of these more like these big technological like leaps that we're having, industrial revolution type stuff. So
I mean, Star Wars is a timely and timeless story. I think you could really set it anywhere and it could find a home.
Definitely. All right, I've got I'm gonna go ahead. I will ask Johnny a second question here, because it's going to this really got me thinking and you know, wishing and daydreaming about what might have been, what could have been, and I think that you're probably going to be right there too. So this is Johnny again from Journals of the Wills. He wants to know, Johnny's saying, how about a segment on the KOTOR and Star Wars books and comics, you know, connections to earlier works, legacies and subsequent works, and missed opportunities. So there's a couple of book things that tie in, you know, more or less directly to KOTOR. So you had the Knights of the Old Republic comics, which ran from 2006 to 2010, which was basically a telling of like the prequel of KOTOR, basically. And that was, and those comics were a sequel to the Tales of the Jedi, which ran from 1993 to 1998, which we actually did an episode about Tales of the Jedi. We're really gonna have to break down and do an episode about the comics KOTOR 2. There's a lot of them. I have the omnibus here. It weighs like 1500 pounds. It like gets insane. So we'll probably have to break that down into some smaller chunks.
We're
so you have the
it all at once. No, just
doing it all at once. Be prepared for the 10-part series. So you had the comics there, and then you have the Old Republic books. So Revan, Deceived, Fatal Alliance, and Annihilation, and those are set kind of after KOTOR. They're right to basically set up the SWTOR universe is kind of what that is doing more or less. But really there's nothing that ties in directly to the, you know, the Knights of the Old Republic, like game, like time period, you know, be it, you know, KOTOR or KOTOR 2, you know, Revan dabbles in that a little bit, I guess. But, but what do you think, Cassio, what would have been like good stories to have told, you know, from that time period or very, very near that time period, maybe like in the direct aftermath? So were there things that could have been done or missed opportunities or, ways that these stories could have tied in to something else? Maybe. What do you think?
I mean, I think the reason the Knights of the Old Republic comic ended in 2010 is because I think the comics were very adverse to like creating like a canonical Revan. I think all they really said was like, I think they only implied like he was a he, you know. They kept his face in shadow. It was a little dorky, but I
he
think
was
like
Keanu Reeves.
I love Keanu Reeves, but just not as Revan. I think I've made my feelings clear. Maybe we
see
can do a John Wick.
See episodes 1 through 199.
Yeah. We can do a John Wick episode or something as, like, penance for that, but...
Bill and Ted. I'll do a Bill and Ted one.
Right.
So the comics never really dug into the story of Revan, in terms of like who the character really was, which obviously I guess on one hand, because you have the spoiler in the game, but the comics are written, you know, well after the game. So
yeah, but in 2011 I think BioWare is like, we gonna do a Revan novel and we gonna make a canonical Revan. So you can just end your little run and we're gonna make a Revan novel. It's gonna be the greatest thing people have ever read. And one of those things was true. The comics did end its run in 2010. It would be cool to get like the Exiles story of like the war, like kind of as like a general, you know, get some KOTOR 2 character cameos, maybe get some mysteries, you know, solved or deepened, you know, like is RNK Kreia, you know, or maybe it's just a more tangled web and we'll never know. But I think that would be cool. Like, I'm not opposed to a canonical Revan. I just don't like the one we got in the Revan novel.
Yeah, for sure. I think that would be really, really cool. That is kind of a missed opportunity there, which, you know, still definitely could happen. But to have either like a comic or you know, some sort of book or something, I think that a comic really kind of lends itself here to this really well. But it would have been interesting to have had like the story of like what, you know, Revan and Bastila and, you know, T3 and Juhani did, like, kind of in the time from the end of KOTOR, like through the events of KOTOR 2. And then it would have been interesting, I think, to have had, you know, Mitra Zurich's adventures, you know, kind of leading up into a KOTOR 2, to kind of not necessarily even like bridge it. It would just would have been interesting to see, you know, what the, you know, these two different groups of people were kind of up to at that time. I think that that would be really interesting. My dream, when I was reading this from Johnny, my head immediately went to, why didn't we get a Knights of the Old Republic treatment like Shadows of the Empire got? That would have been amazing.
Prepare yourself for Star Wars Shadows of the Empire. The evil Empire has struck back with a vengeance, and a new villain, the crime lord Shizor, schemes to replace Darth Vader as the Emperor's second in command. With Han Solo held frozen in carbonite by bounty hunter Boba Fett, it's the rebellion's darkest hour. Now, join Jedi warrior Luke Skywalker, hard-charging Chewbacca, and go undercover with heroic pilot Dash Rendar and his booming outrider. But can Han Solo be freed and Shizor be stopped? Star Wars Shadows of the Empire. Look for the authentic figures and vehicles from Kenner.
Shadows of the Empire had the soundtrack, it had the video game, it had the book, it had comics, it had toys, it was this whole thing. And there's reasons why that didn't happen. The most important one is that, you know, Shadows of the Empire came out in, I should have written it down, in like 94 or something like that, 96, oh, wow. Something like that. And KOTOR obviously came out like during the prequels, so Lucasfilm, that were all eyes on the prequels, couldn't look away like they did for Shadows of the Empire when, you know, there weren't any films going on, right? They could kind of pour everything into that. The other thing is Shadows of the Empire was created and published by LucasArts. And we know, of course, Knights of the Old Republic was, you know, produced by LucasArts, but BioWare was the ones making it, so they didn't have quite the same level of in-house strict control over of that, so it would have been harder. But yeah, they definitely, with the films going on, couldn't have done it. But that would, but think how cool that would have been to have had like the whole like gamut of stuff to coincide with the game, right? You know, books and comics and toys and all of that stuff. So a missed opportunity for sure. You know, is not really ever going to happen in that sense, but that would have been really cool.
Yeah. So pick a number between 1 and 10 that is not 8.
I was going to pick 8. Let's start at the beginning. Question number 1.
Okay. Who is your second favorite KOTOR and KOTOR 2 character?
My second favorite KOTOR and KOTOR 2 character. So let's see. So my favorite character in the first Knights of the Old Republic is Jolie. That's going to make my second favorite character, I really want to say T3, but that's probably not the case in the first KOTOR. I think it's probably going to be it's a toss-up between Bastila and Karth, I think. If I had to just pick one who I think is more interesting, or who my favorite would be, I'm going to go with Bastila. Bastila is number 2 for me in my heart and in my mind in the first KOTOR. I think that her story is interesting, and then you have the big kind of twist with her falling to the dark side. In KOTOR 2, my second favorite character. That is tricky because I really, really like most of the characters here, and I've actually never really given it much thought as to who my favorite character from KOTOR 2 is. Mitra Surik is a really good character. I don't know if this is heresy to say or not, but Mitra Surik is way more interesting than Revan, just as a character goes, I think. Probably Kreia is the first.
But Revan's
favorite.
A cool dude in a mask. No, just
kidding. I mean, Mitra Surik could wear a cool mask, I guess. Then she would be cooler, I guess. And I think probably then my second favorite character is probably going to be, I don't know, probably Visus Mar. And a lot of that has to do with more of the character's backstories than it does with the actual character within the game. But yeah, so I'm gonna say Bastila from KOTOR and Visus Mar from KOTOR 2. How about you, Cassia? Your favorite, I'm assuming, is Bastila, but who's number two? Who's number two? I guess Bastila is in KOTOR 2, so she could be a favorite twice over if she wanted to be.
So in KOTOR, I would say my second favorite is Karth, and
I thought you were going to say Kalonord.
Yeah, totally Kalonord.
I have to give you credit. You've led me on quite a chase, but nobody gets away from Kalonord in the end.
No, it's Karth, like, because sometimes it's a roller coaster with Karth. Like, when it first came out, I'm like, oh, he's like Han Solo. He has a cool jacket. But then, the memes start coming in, and it's like, oh, he doesn't want to talk about it. And I'm like, oh. Like, the older I get, I'm like, sometimes you don't want to talk about traumatic memories, you know? Like,
yeah. BioWare did not help him out with that smile at the end of the game either. They could have toned
that
down.
No, that was a war crime, what they did to him. But I think, like, he's excellently voice acted by Raphael. I'm trying to pronounce this last name. It's like there's an S and then a B. Is it Sparge? I'm not trying to be cute and just be like, I don't know how to pronounce it. I literally don't know how to. I'm trying to show respect, but I honestly don't know how. If someone knows how, please tell me how. Because it's just such a tragic backstory, and I think he's trying to do the right thing, but he's not going to be nice about it all the time, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
And then KOTOR 2, it's kind of a, like, my favorite character, I think, is Kreia, because, yeah. And then my second favorite, it's either Beodur or Visus Mar.
Okay, fair enough. So we've got Karth from KOTOR 1, and then Atriss is your favorite from KOTOR 2, favorite and second favorite simultaneously. Yep. Which is just how Atriss would want it, for sure. Let's see. So that's actually a good time to ask this question. This came from my Instagram, and I apologize. I did not get the username from it. It was on my story, and I went to write it down, and then the story disappeared, and I'm too technologically inept to figure out how to look up to see what this was. But this is a pretty simple one, Cassia. When was the last time that we played Knights of the Old Republic or Knights of the Old Republic 2? Myself, I just finished a playthrough of Knights of the Old Republic 2 like last summer. Ish, so 2022 summer of, and I'd played KOTOR through right before that, so like winter, spring, I played KOTOR, spring, summer, I played KOTOR 2. I actually just started, I was trying to stream Knights of the Old Republic on my Twitch channel, like just a couple of weeks ago, and that game is like next to impossible to stream, so if you see someone streaming it, know that they went through a lot of pain and suffering to get to do it. I don't know if I'm going to continue with it, because the quality of it wasn't very good. It's really tricky to do. I could maybe try to do it on my Switch. So I don't know, I'll have to keep playing with that, but yeah, it was last year for me. What about you? How long has it been since you've actually played the games?
I think it was like 2020 or 2021 during the pandemic times. So like I really, it's kind of a timeless time for me. Like, I'm like, when was it? I'm like, oh, pandemic. Like, I don't remember exactly when, but, I mean, like, we kind of played it in the podcast because we kind of, like, how we were talking about earlier in the pod, like, we kind of went through, like, every detail. Like, if we mm-hmm. were, when we were kind of going through it and like saying we were like in a hypothetical alternate reality, like making KOTOR into a trilogy, how would we do it? Like, I think we plunged those depths and like, all we were missing is the dice rolls, you know? So
that's right. That explains why there were so many terrorist episodes for sure.
Ugh. Yeah. Like looking back on it, I'm like, I could have stripped terrorist down. So yeah,
that's true. But, if you try to shorten terrorist, people don't like that. People love themselves some terrorist time. And that's fair. Terrorist is a lovely, lovely place to be, until it gets shellacked. But
yeah. I mean, if you have, like, terrorists too long, people would be like, oh, terrorists was too long. And if it's too short, they'd be like, oh, it's too short. And there's, like, never just a just right. So it's a challenge.
It's like,
so.
It's like the Goldilocks and the Three Bears. This terrorist is too big.
There should be three levels and three bears, but there's not, you know?
No porridge.
Yeah. Okay. So I wrote a three-part audio drama, and part two is coming out next week, but if you were to write a three-part audio drama, what would you write? And it doesn't have to be Star Wars themed.
Oh, okay. That's actually very close to a question I have, so I'll kind of follow up with my version of it here. If I was doing one, I don't know. See, I don't know that I know anything like well enough to do an audio drama for something like specifically outside of Star Wars without doing a bunch of research, which actually would be okay with me, because I really like kind of the research aspect of, you know, doing, you know, these episodes or, you know, doing other, you know, podcast endeavors and things like that. Like the research part of it is pretty fun for me, but I don't know, knowing what I know kind of that goes on behind the scenes of producing one of these, I know that it is a lot of work and a lot of effort, and I don't know that there's anything out there that I like or enjoy as much as Star Wars that I would be willing to kind of go through that for. Like, I'd be willing to do like a piece of it, but I don't know about like the whole like production, you know, and like heading it up, you know, like what you've had to do here on the Bastila audio drama. So I think I'm gonna stay within the realm of Star Wars. Now what would it be about? That's the real tricky part for me. You know, because you're getting things now, like the from a certain point of view from like the original trilogy, and presumably that's going to carry on to the other films and things like that. So I'd like that. Thinking of something a little bit more, you know, kind of near like recency bias, between something like Jedi Fallen Order and Jedi Survivor, I think there's some storylines there that could be explored, you know, be it with Cal and BD or with Marin, something like that I think would be really interesting, and sort of a fun kind of fan project there.
Cal Kestis, get over here, you son of a bogling! Oh, it's been a while. I missed you, kid.
Hey.
Let me look at you. You look terrible.
Yeah, it's good to see you too, Grease.
Obviously, there's, you know, kind of deep wells of stuff there from KOTOR. It might be fun to go back and do something like hypothetical, like in the Tales of the Jedi period, which actually got an audiobook of that first comic book, I believe.
Oh, cool.
So something like in that realm would be fun. But I think honestly, like, what I'd found most fun, we did kind of like the haunted tales and stuff like that, and one of the ideas we'd kicked around a little bit was doing kind of like a true crime kind of series, in particular about Manon, but kind of anywhere, is doing something not necessarily, I mean, they're all fictional, of course, but, you know, something kind of like hypothetical, like fictionalized kind of thing that doesn't necessarily like handle like any in particular character, but just kind of like the setting and environments and stuff of that. I think that something like that would be super interesting to me to do from a standpoint like that. So I'm going to answer with that. It's not like a real answer, but I think, yeah, like I said, Jedi Fallen Order Survivor, something in there would be really fun to do, like something focusing on Marin, I think would be really interesting, or an audio drama about Grease, that would be fun. So maybe something like that. And then to turn it back on you, Cassia, so my question here was, you know, you and I have joked about making an ice capade for Kreia. We've talked about doing Atrus's pumpkin spice latte diaries, which probably is going to happen, both of those for sure, one way or another. You did Bastila here for KOTOR 1. What character or storyline would be the best from KOTOR 2, do you think? Is there some kind of, like, background story to explore there, do you think?
Huh. I don't want to put myself into a box, but I'm just, like, this is kind of the first time I'm, like, allowing myself to think about it, because I'm still kind of in Bastila audio drama world, because we're still kind of getting part 3 scored for that. Part of me is like, do I want to cover the Mandalorian Wars, or do I want to cover before the Mandalorian Wars, or do I want to cover KOTOR 2, what KOTOR 3 could have been? Maybe it could be like, from a certain point of view, KOTOR 2, like, so everyone gets a little bit of their own chapter or something.
Like you, I was looking for some trace of the Jedi. I had heard mention that one of the Jedi Masters had gone there, but I found no trace of them. The other reason was the ruins of the Jedi Enclave, and once I arrived, I felt it was necessary to stay, to protect what was left.
But that would be ridiculously hard to produce. Because, like, I'd have to be like, oh, Marcus can't voice everyone this time, you know? And, like, a lot of our friends who are talented voice actors are busy, you know? So it would be just kind of interesting to delve into, like, Beodur's head. Like, we kind of joke, like, he's kind of, like, pre-Oppenheimer hype time, you know? Like, that he's kind of, like, the Oppenheimer. And I think McCall is a character who needs a better haircut, and maybe he could get a makeover from Mira or something. I don't know, you know, and that could be a chapter. So
yeah, there you go. Yeah, I like that idea, because when I was writing out this question, I was thinking, you know, for myself, where would I want to be? And yeah, all the characters in KOTOR 2 have such, like, rich and interesting backstories. Like, you could totally do, like, just, like, a little, like, one-off kind of thing for, you know, for all of them, really, and tell, you know, the story of Mikhail's kind of archaeological exploits, or, you know, his time there after that. It would be fun to do, like a more of, like, a, not like a courtroom drama, but like a drama piece just within the Jedi Council, you know, kind of, you know, in between this periods of war and dealing with Mitra Surik. Like, I think that stuff like that would be really interesting to kind of delve into there. But yeah, I think each of the characters really could be worthy of that if someone wanted to put forth the time and effort, or you could even do, like you said, smaller kind of like one-off sort of things for each of the characters instead of like a whole full-blown out story kind of thing. That would be neat.
Yeah, for sure. So, I guess you kind of just asked questions, so I guess I ask a question too. Yeah. Who do you think is the most overlooked KOTOR and KOTOR 2 character?
You could say any of them other than Revan, or maybe Bastila to that end. I think that Jolie, you know, being my favorite character, I think is probably the most compelling from Knights of the Old Republic one, but I think that Juhani is really the character that most people, you know, kind of sleep on and don't pay a lot of attention to within the game. Yeah. I think, you know, she's interesting, obviously, from the standpoint that Juhani was, you know, the first LGBTQIA character within Star Wars, which is really neat. And then I think that there's a lot of kind of depth of that story that could be told or could be explored. I think that that's interesting, and I think the Cathars as a Star Wars race of beings is pretty interesting. So I think that Juhani is probably the most, like I said, kind of underrated character, because everyone else kind of gets a little bit of limelight. Like, you see, you know, Kandra stuff, or you see Karth stuff, but Juhani stuff you don't see very often. So definitely that. For KOTOR there, Juhani. For KOTOR 2, That one's trickier. I think, I don't know, like, in some ways, I think that that Atten is underrated, although Atten's probably the most well-known of the characters, but I don't think it's really for the right reasons, because I think that Atten, personally, I find Atten to be a really, really interesting character with a really, really interesting backstory, but that doesn't seem to be, like, the emphasis that gets put on Atten. Right, he's like Han Solo, and he's the romance interest, and he's like the easiest one to turn into a Jedi, so that's good. But I think that maybe he's kind of overrated in the game, but I think he's underrated as a character in Knights of the Old Republic.
All right, I'll deal then. If you're ever fighting someone who has the power over your mind, whether light or dark, play Pazak. Start listing hyperspace routes, recite engine sequencers. And when they try to use their powers on you, suddenly it's not as easy as they thought. Because you'll be right here with me, playing Pazak, where they can't reach you.
I think he's someone who kind of has, like, constructed, like, an image, like a gilded image that a lot of people think is the character, but it's the surface of the character. And maybe I just never really liked the surface, and maybe if the story kind of delved more into, like, his backstory and, like, the whole picture, I think I would find him more interesting.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. But what about you? Who do you think is underrated here from our games?
I mean, I do like Revan. It's just not the Revan that everyone else likes, I think. Like, cool dude in a mask, like, that's epic and has hallway scenes, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think, like, the whole crew is kind of, like, underrated. But I do think Juhani, you know, sometimes does get cut from, like, fan projects, you know? Like, so I do think she's overlooked. And yeah, in KOTOR 2, in a way, like, there's so much, like, story content, I am still barely comprehending even today. Maybe KOTOR 2 is not something you play, you know, in middle school as a teenager, and you're like, what's nihilism? Like, yeah, like, I don't know. We didn't cover that in school yet. I would say maybe Mira, because I think, like, a lot of people, when it came out, it's like, she's hot, you know? Like, her outfit, man, like, kind of just liked her for that, but I'm like, oh, she has, like, kind of a tragic backstory and just wants a family. She's basically a Disney princess, guys, you know?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, in a lot of ways, Mira and Atten are similar in that way, I think.
Yeah.
All right, so let's see here. We've got a question from our pal Hooney, who's joined us a bunch of times, and he's got a couple of questions here that are really, really good. We're going to stick with this one in our fun hypotheticals. Cassia, one job in the KOTOR universe that you would like to work?
So in the KOTOR universe, besides Jedi, I'm guessing?
I don't know if Jedi is... I guess Jedi is kind of a job. It's kind of like a... you know, head of, like, clergy or something, right? It's, I
can
guess,
Jedi
it's kind of a job, but not really a job. It's like a job, but not really a job.
It's,
I guess, that'd be like your, it'd be like your calling, I guess. But yeah, okay. What kind of job do you want in the KOTOR world?
I mean, like, because I'm high on my own drama, I'd want to be a Jedi, but
A Jedi Knight. I'm out of it for a little while. Everybody gets delusions of grandeur.
If I could get the same jacket as Karth, I'd be like, so, like, what job do I have to work to get that jacket? Like, is it a Republic thing, or, like, what? Like, it'd be cool to stand around.
100 credits,
like,
I could go buy it.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. So, Cassia is going to be the CEO of Zerka, so she can buy all the orange jackets she wants. You heard it here first. going to work part-time at Starbucks to get Atris her coffee. I can't believe you didn't say that you were going to be, like, the Jocasta New of the Jedi Library. That's where I figured you would go with that. That's okay, that's okay. You're going straight to the source and be like, nah, I'm just an actual Jedi. That's what I'm going to do. Rule the galaxy. So I think that this question is interesting because basically, like, the first character you meet in KOTOR is just someone doing their job. I mean, you meet Trask, of course, right? Like, in the kind of, you know, on board the ship there is kind of like the tutorial section. But then you crash and you wake up in that apartment and you go outside and there's just a janitor, like, there. And that's, like, the first person you talk to in the game. So I think that's kind of a fun question from that standpoint, because you do literally just meet people in the game that are just there.
I forgot about the space janitor. Oh, my gosh. I'm a fake fan.
Fake fan. That's right. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of jobs. A lot of them seem to be not that great of jobs because they're all on places that are about to get destroyed or have just previously been destroyed. Or you're going to get, you know, Revan coming up to you and could potentially be mean if Revan is feeling a little dark side that day. So that's not great. That's not great. I think what I would do, I'm going to stick with the Dantooine Jedi Council area myself. I don't want to be a librarian. That's lame. I would be like the maintenance man for the Jedi Council. So I'd go around, I'd trim the, like, weeds and, you know, mow the lawn and stuff like that. I could, like, fill up, like, the oil lanterns and stuff like that. You know, just keep things going. I'm operationally minded. I would just like to be there, like, on the ground. I don't want to do Jedi stuff. That's where you go and get in, like, the Mandalorian Wars. I don't want to do that, but, you know, I'd want to be, like, Jedi, like, adjacent, you know, something there.
Dantooine's lovely, but the Jedi Council make Dantooine not great, you know. So
true. So yeah, I think that would be the best place to be for me. Yeah, just doing something, yeah, in the administration office of Dantooine.
What are your favorite fandoms outside of Star Wars / KOTOR?
My favorite fandoms outside of KOTOR / SWTOR, probably Jurassic Park. I just started listening to Jurassic Park, the book, again. I haven't read it or listened to it in quite a while, so that's been fun. That's probably my favorite one out.
Now, eventually, you do plan to have dinosaurs on your dinosaur tour, right? Hello?
I really like the kind of the Tolkien world. I'm not as knowledgeable about the books as I should be, although I have read the books several times. But really, it's hard to be knowledgeable on that because it's such, like, a deep ocean of stuff. And I love those films, Hobbit films excluded. The first three are magical, and I try to watch those a time or two each year. So I like that. I like just kind of, like, general science fiction stuff, you know, especially, like, you know, kind of like one-off stuff. So, you know, Blade Runner, Aliens, Terminator 2. I like stuff like that and getting into that. Recently, I've been back into the fandom of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles because I absolutely loved the new Ninja Turtle film that just came out late this past summer. That has been a lot of fun, and just kind of revisiting, you know, stuff from like my childhood there. That has been a pretty good time. So those are kind of the bigger, like, fandom things that I get into. You know, of course, I like stuff like Game of Thrones and stuff like that, and, like, the world of, like, Breaking Bad, I think, is really interesting and so well done, and things like that. So those are kind of the big ones for me. What about you? Any other fandoms that you're a big fan of, Cassia?
I think, like, looking at this year, like, what I've been really into is, I love the Spider-Verse films. I'm excited to see the third installment, and we were lucky enough to talk to Schrader about the first movie and the second movie. Mm-hmm. I love Indiana Jones. I got to the point, I'm past the halfway point in the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm excited about that, and I saw the whole James Bond movie series for the first time this year, so I think those are my series, and if mammoths were a fandom, I think I'd be a number one fan, so.
Number one mammoth fan. Yeah, for sure, absolutely. There's some other fandoms too. Music. I know you've been on quite the Muse journey. I'm a big Muse fan myself. Radiohead is another group that I really have a lot of enjoyment out of, kind of deep diving into their, you know, catalog and seeing their side projects and stuff like that too. So
yeah, I guess it's your turn to ask a question.
Okay, so I'm gonna stick with Huni, who asked a second question here. This one is a little bit more, I guess his first question was hypothetical too. This one is kind of fun and kind of tricky to answer, I'm gonna be completely honest. And okay. Huni was on our episode talking about Kashyyyk, so that's what this question is about. So what would you pack for a weekend on Kashyyyk, specifically KOTOR Kashyyyk? So I guess like Revenge of the Sith Kashyyyk doesn't count, Holiday Special Kashyyyk doesn't count. So what do you think, KOTOR Kashyyyk? What are you taking? What are you packing in your overnight bag for a weekend on Kashyyyk?
Actually, I was on my way somewhere else when I crash landed on Kashyyyk. The ship I was using was a rust bucket. It seemed like an interesting enough place to spend a couple of decades exploring.
I would, you know, humble myself because I'd be going out of my element. Because. I don't really dig camping. I would pack like a nice bag. Try to tell, you know, Jedi Council where I'm gonna be, you know, in case something happens, or like tell the Ebonhawk crew where I would be, you know, if I'm going to the Shadowlands, you know, people are aware. And bring a walking stick.
Tell a friend if you're going hiking somewhere.
Yeah. Maybe like a little light. I guess I have a lightsaber, so it's like it doubles as a flashlight and a weapon. So a walking stick too, which can double as a weapon but not as a flashlight. And a big water bottle, you know, but I would just also humble myself. I'm not a Wookiee, you know. Kashyyyk is not my ancestral home. Like, the locals probably know how to do it better. So I would just not be like, I know how to do this better, you know. Like, I'd try to be like, oh, cool, I almost killed myself there. Thank you for pointing that out, you know. So that's what I would try to do.
Yeah, there you go. I was thinking, if I'm going to Kashyyyk, I'm gonna pack some bug spray. That's gonna be helpful, I feel like.
See, I'd be like dead. There's gonna be a lot of bugs. Space malaria.
Yeah, it'd be bad news. So the real question, I have a question for Huni. Then I guess, am I going to Kashyyyk like on my own as like an adventure, or am I going as a guest of Big Z? Because if I'm going as Big Z's guest, I'm going to be put up in the finest accommodations. I'm going to take my appetite. That's what I'm going to pack, because they're going to be having feasts galore. That sounds amazing. Having like a feast with some Wookiees, that sounds like a good time. There's going to be food and drink flowing pretty freely. If I'm going on my own as like an adventure, then definitely the bug spray, because I'm probably going to be in the Shadowlands. Like, I don't know if I'll be able to sneak up into the Wookiee village there. You know, my Shriwook's not very good, so I'm probably going to be stuck in the Shadowlands. Maybe I run across Jolie's hut, and that's a place where I can hide, because there's a lot of things there that will kill you. The Zerka is there. That's bad. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll be some protester. I would be out getting Zerka's stuff offline. I'd be start my own little rebel alliance there on the forest floor of Kashyyyk, maybe. But I don't know. Bug spray. I would definitely take some sort of weapon. And I would take a lot of fear, because I would be afraid to be in the Shadowlands on my own for sure. So hopefully I'm there as guest of Big Z. And yeah, we can just feast and have a good time. He can show me all the sights. He can show me where to go, all the best spots, the Tree of Life, all that stuff. So that's how I want to go to Kashyyyk. I don't want to go and camp either. Also not a big fan of camping, to be honest. So
what we should have asked is, like, is it life day when we go? Like, we
I'm gonna take my blue orb. I'm gonna take a gift for Lumpy, you know, all the stuff. No, this was KOTOR specific, although, you know, Wookiees do live for a long time.
Life day existed then, so
that's right. Yeah. That's right. Well, thank you, Huni. Thank you for coming on the podcast and being awesome generally, and thank you for those questions. Those were fun.
Yeah. So, who do you think is the most interesting villain in KOTOR and KOTOR 2?
The most interesting villain, I think, is probably, well, Malak for sure in the first KOTOR. It's definitely not Darth Brandon. He's not the best one. Kalanord is also not very interesting. Yeah, so not very many interesting villains in the first KOTOR. So it's got to be Malak. In the second KOTOR, it's easy to say Darth Treya is the most interesting. But I don't know that Darth Treya is really the most interesting. Kreia is definitely the most interesting, but I don't know about Darth Treya. I'm going to say Darth Sion is the most interesting villain that we have here in KOTOR 2.
Look, if she's in pain, then that pain's buying us time we can't afford to waste. Especially if Sleeps with Vibroblades gets tired of playing with her and decides to use us for practice next.
You could make the argument that the Exile Mitra Surik herself is the most interesting villain of KOTOR 2. Maybe that's the way I want to go. I don't know.
Ooh, the villain of codependency.
That's right. Who do you think?
Huh. Yeah, in KOTOR 1, I would actually say Saul Kareth.
Okay. That's fair.
Because I'm just like, he loved Karth. Like, Karth was like his, like, not his son, but like, he was teaching him everything. Like, it's kind of like Saul Kareth was Mufasa and Karth was Simba. And it's like, everything the light touches will be yours someday. And then, like, it's kind of like, he just kind of betrayed him. I don't know, like, because he's just like, the Sith are better. And he just utterly betrays Karth in every way. And I'm just like, how can another human do that, you know? And sometimes people just suck, you know? And there is no answer. But I think, like, Malak is interesting, but kind of more like, if you do your homework, you know, not like when you're just exposed to KOTOR. And then I would say Kreia/Treya, kind of, because like it's very easy to say that, but like I'm still learning stuff about Kreia and Treya, and it's been out like for like 20 years, you know. And if you really analyze her philosophy, I'm not sure it really holds up. She just kind of wants to tell you you're wrong, like, no matter what you do. And it's just an interesting conclusion to come to, rather than, like, I just want to rule the galaxy, you know, like Palpatine does. But, and also Atriss. I think she's just, like, such an interesting, extreme case of, like, self-righteousness and hypocrisy that can happen to us all, you know?
That's right. Yeah, don't shut yourself in with Sith holocrons all day, because you too can turn bad if that happens.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, I have one more question here on my list, so I'll go ahead and ask it now, and then I'll turn it back over to you. So, Cassia, hypothetically speaking, the Revan novel can still exist, or we can nuke it from our memories. So either way, it doesn't really matter here for the confines of this question. So, basically, the events of Knights of the Old Republic 2 ends, right? So you just finished playing the game. KOTOR 2 ends. The Ebonhawk, you know, takes off and lands somewhere. And KOTOR 3, the game, the story that we never got, starts. So who from the first two games are on board at the start of your KOTOR 3?
Ooh, boy. So I'm guessing it's the released version of KOTOR 2, right? Not the Sith Lord's edit.
Correct. Yeah, or it could be the, you know, the Sith Lords, the
extra, I forget which one's extra supposed to be
extra
canon,
content there, but yeah, know, basically the Ebonhawk leaves Malachor 5 and flies to wherever it goes. And then, you know, you put in your shiny new disc from KOTOR 3, brought to you by the Old Republic podcast. How does that game start? Who are we with to start that game?
Observation. So perhaps you are responsible for my creation.
I'm kind of like, should it be a new character or should it be the Exile? I'm kind of leaning towards the Exile. Because I just think it would be a little bit easier to tie some of those loose ends from KOTOR to, if you're the Exile. And I think, like, maybe just HK and T3 are with you, and then maybe you're reunited with people who aren't dead from your crew from the last game, you know? And I think, like, they did start KOTOR 3 before, until it was canceled, and, like, what it was going to be is, like, you have to battle these ultimate Sith. It's kind of more like, I guess it is a little bit like SWTOR, but I kind of would have just rather preferred KOTOR 3 because it would have been in the same engine and, like, kind of like within the same story and in the same timeline. You kind of have to make it ambiguous, like, if Revan and the Exile, like, are good or bad, you know, or all that. But it kind of sounds like in the KOTOR 3 that was canceled, like, you'd have to fight these, like, kind of, like, godlike Sith who are just, like, kind of powerful, kind of like superheroes, you know? Superhero level. Like, and I guess it could make sense, like, if you're on the light side, it's like you have to defeat them or try to sway them, and it's like maybe if you're on the dark side, like, they're your competition, so you have to take them off the map, and then maybe, like, the final battle would be, like, maybe it would be Revan and the Exile having to fight against the final bad guy, and that's what I would do.
Okay, I like that. For me, if I'm starting up the KOTOR 3 game that's in my head, and I'm totally coming up with this on the spot here, maybe that's what we have to do someday, is make through an entire hypothetical KOTOR 3, which sounds like a lot to do, for sure. I think that for me, if I was starting the game, I think that it would be Bastila, Karth, and T3 on board the Ebon Hawk. That's how the game is going to start. But then the first stop of the game is going to be to the Dantooine Jedi Council, which is where Mitra Surik resides now. So we're going to go and get Mitra Surik to join in our adventure to go find Revan, who had gone off on his own to try to put all these pieces back together. So similar kind of in a way to maybe kind of the way that the novel gets started there, but definitely going to play out much differently, where we're on a quest kind of with the you know, kind of the different allies that we've created through the first two games, on the quest to go find Revan again. So I think that's how I would kind of get things kick-started there, with Bastila, Karth, T3, and then on our way to pick up Mitra Surik to start the adventure.
Awesome. And then what do you say your favorite band or your your favorite band, favorite writer, and favorite director is?
Okay. Let's see, my favorite band, my favorite historical band is the Beatles. My favorite kind of current band is Radiohead. Radiohead is my favorite band. My favorite author is Michael Crichton. I just mentioned that I was rereading Jurassic Park. I've read through most of Crichton's work and always find it really enjoyable. Some things are better than others, but they're always a fun read, kind of regardless of the content of that Andromeda Strain being my least favorite of his books, to be honest. My favorite director, I don't know, like there are a lot of directors that I really like. I like, you know, kind of the directing style of, you know, Tarantino and Kevin Smith, like those were the movies that I grew up on. It would be very easy to say Steven Spielberg because on any list of like top 10 movies, like he's going to have like 8 of them
yeah.
on there. You know, kind of same for James Cameron in a way there. So I don't know if I had to pick like an absolute favorite. It's probably going to be Steven Spielberg. I don't know how it's anyone but him, right? Raiders of the Lost Ark, Jaws, Schindler's List, Saving Private Ryan, Jurassic Park, E.T. You know, I don't know how you top that, really, for sure.
Yeah.
So I have to say Steven Spielberg. It's the very generic answer, but I think it's probably the real answer. So.
Yeah. True facts.
So. True facts. True facts. What about you? What are your favorites?
I've always loved the Beatles and U2. My favorite band right now, like you said, is Muse. My favorite writer is all of them that I like. It's hard for me to choose just one because sometimes I like the idea, I like the series, I like how they write a sentence, but if someone put a gun to my head, I'd be like, Italo Calvino, or Joseph Campbell, you know, that's probably who I would say. Mm-hmm. And then favorite director, Steven Spielberg, he directed like pretty much 90% of the movies of everyone's childhood, so it's like I think he's gonna win, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But also like I do like Portrait of a Lady on Fire, so like I think it's Celine Sciamma. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong because it's French and I don't really know French, but
sure.
that's a great movie. I did love Greta Gerwig's take on, you know, like Lady Bird and like Barbie and so before I kind of just read my letterbox in full, we'll just leave it there.
Yeah, for sure. Greta Gerwig is excellent and definitely newer to the scene. I think Barbie is only like her fourth feature film, and they're all
$1 billion.
And it made up $1 billion. She has already had like 2 Oscar noms for directing. Very possible she gets a third one this year if Oscars are a thing that happened this year. I don't know for sure how that's gonna work, but we'll see. So yeah, so that stuff is good. And you know what else is good, Cassie? If anyone out there is still listening and having a fun time with our 200th episode extravaganza, that is our Patreon patrons. They are amazing. Wanted to take a special moment to shout them out, because you know the podcast is a lot of work, and doing things like Patreon and interacting with our patrons and putting out, you know, bonus content and, you know, behind the scenes stuff for the audio drama and you know, other stuff about the podcast. You know, it really makes it worthwhile to have kind of that community there and, you know, the support of them. And and obviously we definitely appreciate, you know, the time and energy and that they're able to provide to us. So definitely wanted to take a moment to shout out the patrons here on our 200th episode for sure, because I don't know about you, Cassia, but the podcast would be a lot tougher to put together without those patrons over there.
Yeah, I mean, they really help us out when we kind of do our little audio dramas, like the 3-part Bastila series, having guests on to do the Halloween ones, and our Spaceship Earth ones. Whenever we do lo-fi, that helps us. So yeah, thank you to all of them.
All right, how are we doing with questions here, Cassia? Like I said, I'm all out of my questions. Do you have any left over there on your sheet?
I have 2 more.
Two more. All right.
This is one. What's the favorite book I've made you read for the podcast, as well as the favorite movie I've made you watch for the podcast?
Okay. So hey, there's been 2 favorite books. We've actually had both of them on as guests. And the first one is Christopher Vogler's Rider's journey. That one was excellent in terms of kind of storytelling and putting those pieces together for you know, how to tell stories, how stories are being told and filmed and created. And that's helped me you know, with our podcast here, you know, in terms of the, you know, charting our own kind of stories and the way that those are being told. But they've also helped me with the Drink the Movies and the way that I'm understanding stuff over there. Has, you know, been great. That was a really interesting book to read, and a really, really good way. If you're into the hero's journey at all, you should go check out Vogler's book, because it you know, kind of strips it down to the bare bones of what you're thinking about stories being told now, you know, be it on, you know, movies or TV, things like that. So that one was really good. And then the other one, you know, Alex Kane, the Knights of the Old Republic book. He was on for our 100th episode to talk to, you know, such an expert about the game. You know, it was really great. And then that book is so interesting, you know, for me and presumably for you, you know, as people that are, you know, huge fans of this game, of this story, of this world. And then to get, you know, kind of an insider's look, you know, a more journalistic look at how that game came together was really, really interesting. And then, you know, having the privilege to talk to both of those gentlemen through the course of the pod, it was, you know, amazing kind of capstone for those, for the books that you quote unquote made me read. You didn't really make me read either of those. Both of those books though did just show up at my house. So I guess that was a kind of a little nudge to get me reading those for sure. And then let's see, you said a favorite movie that you've had me watch for the pod. I don't know. You've not made me watch too many. We've got one coming out here in the next couple of weeks. John Carter, that was one that you made me watch.
And you loved it. Yeah.
And I loved it. It was good. There was a Mars Dog. That was good. Loved the Mars Dog. I don't know. I think probably my favorite thing, that we watched was probably, and this, it's been quite a while, but probably the prequel Strike Back, which was something that I had watched previously, but I'd not watched in a long time. And you were the one that kind of brought it up, and, you know, we decided we wanted to kind of watch it and take a stab at looking into it. And, you know, that kind of coincided with like the Ring theory then for Star Wars that we talked about, the prequels. So that was really interesting. That was probably my favorite thing that I've watched just specifically for the podcast. And we've talked about some other stuff that has been really fun. We talked about the fourth Matrix film. That was good. We talked about this new Avatar. We just, you know, watched The Creator. So there's been like other movies that we've watched for the sake of the pod, Hidden Fortress. But those were films that I would have watched, you know, kind of anyway, or had watched anyways. And then we also just got to talk about them, you know, in different Inspired a Galaxy type things. So I'll say the prequel Strike Back. That was a good one to get back into.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
What about you? Has there been a book or a movie that we've discussed on the podcast? Obviously, you didn't force yourself to read or watch anything, but was there were there book or movie highlights that you've really liked?
The Writer's Journey was a life-changing book, but I also loved reading the... Man, I'm blanking on the title.
No problem. I wanted to mention too another book that I really enjoyed that we talked about. It wasn't one that you made me read, because I was interested in reading it too. But the Skywalker Family at War book was very excellent too.
Oh, that's a good one. So I'm just looking it up on Goodreads. So it's the one we did, the Heresies. Okay, the Star Wars Heresies. Interpreting the Themes, Symbols, and Philosophies of Episodes 1, 2, and 3 by Paul F. MacDonald. I did really like that one. They were fun to cover. I think because in some ways, like, it's kind of like in our John Carter episode that comes out in the future, like, the prequels are a dumpster fire, but, like...
there are dumpster fire.
There are dumpster fire, and I love them. And I think there's, like, some, like, cool details that didn't quite make it to the masses. So it's like, a nice book, and maybe I just like it because the author likes the books that I like and the movies that I like, but I thought it was a good one. And I think the favorite movie that we covered on the pod, I really liked Agora.
Oh, yeah, Agora, yeah. I forgot we covered that. That was one of the early Inspire the Galaxy episodes, and that was definitely a movie that I would never even have really heard of, probably, if it hadn't been for you encouraging me to watch it. So that was a good one. And yeah, The Heresies was the book was okay, but I really enjoyed kind of the conversation that it spurred in the three episodes that we, you know, talked about the three different prequel films there and how it related through that book. So that was a good one too, for sure.
Yeah. And then this final question is titled "The Altar Dedicated to the Unknown Question."
Wow.
And the question is, what should I have asked but did not?
Oh, wow. Okay. That is the classic interview question right there. What should you have asked? I don't know. You should have, I don't know. We covered a lot of ground, right? We just talked about some of the episodes that we did. We talked, you know, kind of about Knights of the Old Republic, you know, kind of as a whole, and some more fun like aspects of it, because, you know, we like to do things like assign everyone a flavor of pie to have while they're out saving the galaxy. So we kind of covered the gamut. Maybe just as like a capstone here, this is the 200th episode of the podcast, which is pretty amazing. 200 of having an episode every week. That's a long time, right? That is getting darn close to 4 straight years of having this podcast going week in,
oh, wow,
week out, which is crazy to think about it that way, right? For sure. So I think maybe the question is what do we like about doing the podcast, right? Anyone who podcasts out there will know that you don't really do it. You know, some people do it, but not very many people are fortunate enough to do it, you know, for money, for income. You're really doing it as kind of this passion sort of thing. And really, I think for me, why I keep coming back and sitting down each week to do it is because I really like talking to Cassia about these things, about Knights of the Old Republic in particular, but about Star Wars, about other things, about movies that we're watching. And I think that we have fun conversations that are engaging, and sometimes we see things very similarly, sometimes we don't see things similarly at all. And I think that it's interesting, and it just opens up a nice dialogue, you know, at least for me, you know, personally, to kind of think of things and the way I look at things and the way I, you know, then kind of see the way that other people see things. And I think that those are interesting. And then, you know, we edit the podcast and we make a little YouTube video for it and we put it out, and, you know, people listen to it and respond to it and interact with us on Discord or, you know, on the Instagram or through Patreon or any of that. So I think it's just really cool that, you know, we get to sit down and have these conversations about, you know, Atris drinking pumpkin spice lattes, and there's people out there that are willing to listen to it. And I think that is just super cool. Obviously, yeah, you know, it's a hit to episode 200. So I think that's the question you should have asked is, you know, 200 episodes down, why the Old Republic podcast? So
I kind of wanted to... The reason I started it with Coden is to see if I could do it. And in my humble opinion, I could, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of a nice thing that really, you know, like, when a lot of things you couldn't really count on during the pandemic, you know, like, and I was trying to be careful and be safe, like, at least, like, I had the podcast to, like, kind of talk about things that I loved, you know? And then kind of, like, coming out of the pandemic, it's just still really fun to talk about Star Wars. And, like, what you say is, like, sometimes we have really similar opinions. And, like, I think you'll kind of see it, like, in our behind the music for part two of the audio drama that's going to be coming out soon with Joseph. We're like, what instrument would Malik play? And it's like, it's a harmonica because of his jaw. It's basically a jawmarnica, you know, like, that probably doesn't exist. But sometimes in, like, I'm like, oh, I love the movie John Carter. And then, like, I think, like, you were like, not so much. And then, like, it didn't turn into a Batman v Superman situation. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, like, sometimes we have very similar opinions, sometimes we don't. But it's just fun to talk with friends, you know? And, yeah, like, we do it because it's fun.
Exactly. It is fun, for sure. So,
did you have any gotcha questions at the last minute?
I did not have any gotcha questions. I should have thought of one. That would have been good. That would have been good. Why is Rise of Skywalker a great movie?
It does have some great moments that I think, you know, kind of rise above the constraints of, like, being a product, you know. I think the best scene in that film is when Kylo Ren kind of becomes Ben again, and it's him, like, reliving the memory with his father, you know, Harrison Ford, and you just get to see Adam Driver act, and just his physicality becomes different, and there's some puzzling choices made in the film. But there are some Shakespearean moments in it, you know, and there are some interesting visuals, and some of them are good, you know, so, yeah.
The visuals are all pretty good. They're all pretty good. Yeah, okay. So that is, there you go. Gotcha.
Be with me. Rise and take them.
Rey. Bring back the balance, Rey, as I did.
In the night, find the light, Rey.
You're not alone, Rey.
Alone? Never have you been.
Every Jedi who ever lived lives in you.
The Force surrounds you, Rey.
Let it guide you as it guided us.
Feel the Force flowing through you, Rey.
Let it lift you.
Rise, Rey.
We stand behind you, Rey.
In the heart of a Jedi lies her strength.
Rise.
Rey, the Force will be with you. Always.
All right. So.
All right. Well, yeah. Thank you. Well, thank you, everyone. Out there for joining us along the way. Whether this is your first time listening to the podcast or your 200th time listening to the podcast, we want to thank everyone who has taken the time out of their busy lives to sit down and listen to us talk about KOTOR or Star Wars or whatever else we may have talked about along the way. Because we wouldn't be doing it if we didn't have people out there listening. We could do this for a lot less work. Just doing it you know, to have the conversations ourselves. So really, we love all of you out there for, you know, supporting us along the way. And yeah, thank you so much. I guess that's a good place to end episode number 200, Cassia.
Yeah. Thank you, listeners, for supporting us through 200 episodes. And maybe whether you just discovered the podcast or have been there since the beginning, thanks for staying here. And thanks for Coden for being the first co-host. And thank you, Brian, for being a great co-host. And thanks to our friends and patrons. And it's been a great ride. And may the Force be with you. The Old Republic podcast can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, as well as everywhere else that Anchor podcasts are distributed. Subscriptions, reviews, and shares help us out.
And if you want to connect with the podcast on Twitter, we can be found at Old Republic Pod. And if you want to connect with me, I can be found on Instagram at @astro_droid_.
You can find us on Patreon at www.patreon.com/Old Republic Podcast. Our intro and outro themes were composed by Dennis S. Mowers at DennisSMowersMusic.com.
This episode of the Old Republic Podcast has been brought to you by Nikki Dog from Patreon. May the Force be with you. We will be back soon. Bye for now.